The call comes in as a routine disturbance, the kind that usually resolves with a conversation and a report number, and I remember noting how ordinary the address looked as I pulled onto the street, with porch lights cutting narrow cones into the dark, and houses sitting close enough that every sound carried farther than people like to admit. Because what we did not yet know was how a simple noise complaint had already folded itself into something irreversible, shaped by months of quiet resentment, assumptions made across property lines, and the human instinct to protect what feels threatened, even when the threat is poorly defined. And as I walked toward the scene with the air still and heavy, I could already see the emergency lights reflecting off windows and fences, each flash marking the distance between what had been expected when a man stepped outside his home and what had actually happened by the time we arrived, an outcome that would later be measured in reports, evidence tags, and sworn statements, all tracing back to the moment when Jason Lewis went out to check on a noise and never came back inside. I first learned about Jason Lewis through the initial briefing, which outlined him as a middle-aged father living with his family in a quiet Texas neighborhood where most of the residents had known one another for years and where disputes, when they happened, were usually minor and handled without police involvement. His background did not immediately raise red flags, because everything about his daily life appeared routine, grounded in work, family responsibilities, and the small rhythms that define residential living. According to records and interviews later reviewed, he was known to be attentive to his property and protective of his household, traits that neighbors often interpreted as vigilance rather than hostility. The neighborhood itself had a layout that placed homes close together, with narrow driveways, shared fences, and yards separated more by understanding than by physical distance. In settings like this, sounds traveled easily, and misunderstandings often grew from repeated exposure to noises that could not always be clearly attributed to a single source. Over time, minor irritations had reportedly accumulated between Jason Lewis and a neighboring resident, with complaints centering on disturbances and perceived intrusions, though formal reports were scarce prior to the incident. In reviewing prior contacts, I noted that there had been no documented history of violent encounters between the two households, only accounts from neighbors who recalled arguments and tense exchanges. These were described as verbal and sporadic, usually ending with both parties retreating to their respective homes. The absence of prior police reports suggested that whatever conflict existed had remained informal, handled privately, rather than through official channels. On the night of the shooting, the environment was quiet enough that a sudden sound would stand out. Statements later gathered described a noise coming from outside Jason Lewis's home, though descriptions varied regarding its exact nature and origin. What remained consistent was that Jason chose to step outside to investigate, a decision aligned with how neighbors described his usual response to disturbances affecting his property. There was no indication that he expected the situation to escalate beyond a brief check and perhaps a verbal exchange. As part of the investigation, I reviewed phone records, prior complaints, and witness accounts to establish a timeline of the evening leading up to the shooting. None suggested that Jason Lewis had armed himself before going outside, nor that he had planned a confrontation. The decision appeared reactive, shaped by the immediate circumstances, rather than premeditation. Family members later described him as cautious but not reckless, someone who believed in addressing issues directly rather than letting them linger. Oh, well, this characterization aligned with the physical evidence, which showed that he exited his home without the defensive posture or equipment that might indicate anticipation of violence. Everything pointed to a moment shaped by routine judgment rather than heightened threat assessment. Neighbors who were awake at the time recalled seeing him step outside briefly, illuminated by exterior lighting, before any gunfire was heard. Their accounts emphasized the suddenness of the event, underscoring how quickly a situation that began as a noise complaint transformed into a fatal encounter. At this stage of the investigation, the focus remained on understanding the interpersonal dynamics that had existed before that moment, because they formed the context in which the shooting occurred. What stood out most as I pieced together these early details was the ordinariness of the circumstances. There were no warnings, no escalating calls to authorities, and no clear signals that the situation was about to turn deadly. The conflict, such as it was, existed mostly in perception and frustration, simmering quietly until it intersected with a single decision made in the dark. When we reconstructed the shooting, we relied on a combination of physical evidence, surveillance footage from nearby properties, and witness statements collected in the immediate aftermath. The timeline established that Jason Lewis exited his home shortly after hearing the noise, stepping into an area partially lit by exterior fixtures. The neighbor involved was already outside, positioned near the boundary between the properties, according to both video evidence and later testimony. Audio captured by a nearby security camera documented raised voices but did not clearly record specific words, making it impossible to confirm the exact content of the exchange. What could be confirmed was that the interaction escalated rapidly, with the distance between the two men closing within seconds. Investigators documented the positioning of both individuals based on shell casing locations, footprints, and camera angles. The firearm used was legally owned by the neighbor, who later stated that he felt threatened during the encounter. This claim was evaluated against the physical evidence, including Jason Lewis's lack of a weapon and the trajectory of the bullets. The shots were fired at close range, consistent with a brief confrontation rather than a prolonged standoff. Emergency calls placed by neighbors immediately after the gunfire provided a narrow window into the chaos that followed. Dispatch logs showed multiple callers reporting shots fired, with some indicating that a person was down. First responders arrived quickly, but Jason Lewis was pronounced dead at the scene due to gunshot wounds. As part of the investigative process, I reviewed the surveillance footage repeatedly, focusing on movement patterns rather than dialogue. The footage confirmed the sequence of approach, confrontation, and gunfire, but it did not show Jason making any overtly threatening gestures that could be conclusively identified. This absence became a central factor in the later evaluation of the shooter's statements. During interviews, the neighbor described a history of disputes and stated that he believed Jason Lewis posed an immediate danger. These statements were compared against the documented history, which, as previously noted, lacked evidence of violent behavior. Investigators also considered the lighting conditions and visibility, recognizing how darkness can distort perception and amplify fear. Forensic analysis confirmed that the shots were fired in quick succession, with little time between them. This finding supported the conclusion that the decision to fire was made rapidly, without extended deliberation. Gunshot residue tests and ballistic matches aligned with the neighbor's account regarding the weapon used. 3. Throughout this phase of the investigation, my role involved verifying each claim against tangible evidence, ensuring that conclusions rested on what could be proven rather than what was asserted. The presence of video and audio recordings provided a framework, but they also left gaps that could not be filled with certainty. The moment itself, when reduced to its factual elements, was brief and final. A confrontation occurred, shots were fired, and a man who had stepped outside his home did not survive. Everything that followed, from legal proceedings to community response, flowed outward from those seconds captured imperfectly on tape. In the aftermath of the shooting, the case moved into a legal review process that examined whether the use of force met the standards set by Texas law. Prosecutors evaluated the evidence, including the surveillance footage, forensic findings, and witness statements, to determine whether charges were warranted. This review was conducted within the framework of self-defense statutes, which require a careful assessment of perceived threat versus demonstrable action. Jason Lewis's family was notified and provided statements describing their loss and their understanding of the events, though these accounts were not used to establish factual timelines. Their input was documented as part of the case file, reflecting the human impact without altering the evidentiary record. Community response included memorials and discussions about neighborhood safety, but these did not influence the investigative conclusions. The neighbor involved cooperated with authorities, providing his account and submitting to questioning. His legal counsel participated in the process, ensuring that procedural requirements were met. No evidence emerged that contradicted the physical findings, though interpretations of intent and perception remain contested. Ultimately, decisions regarding charges were based on the available evidence and applicable law. The findings acknowledged that Jason Lewis was unarmed at the time of the shooting and that the confrontation arose from a neighborly dispute rather than a criminal act initiated by him. These conclusions were documented in official reports and communicated to all parties involved. As the case concluded, The records reflected a fatal outcome rooted in a moment of conflict and fear rather than a planned act of violence. The investigation closed with a comprehensive account of what could be confirmed, leaving no room for speculation beyond the documented facts. What remains is a file containing timelines, evidence logs, and statements, all pointing back to a single night when a routine decision to check on a noise resulted in irreversible consequences. Jason Lewis's name appears in those records as the victim of a shooting that transformed an ordinary neighborhood into the site of a lasting loss.